We're finishing up the series. Yeah. On Galatians. All right. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible, in the New Testament. It was written by the Apostle Paul. And if you've been in the Sunday morning Sunday school classes, the Bible studies, then some of these words that I'm going to speak this morning, you might have read them before, you might have heard them before, but I tell you what, they're worth repeating. As John likes to say, there's nothing new under the sun. And what we can gather from other people and thoughts from other people, it's always good stuff, and it's worth sharing. You know, as I've said many times before, I'm a history guy. I love history, and I read a lot about history, and I know that we as a country were defined by our history and what's gone on in our past and what's taking place in this country. And just recently, I've been watching Ken Burns' special. I've watched it, I don't know, probably 20 times. But I got the 25th anniversary edition of it. Connie, I know it's one of my Amazon gifts that I got in. But I've been watching the 25th anniversary edition of it, and it's just defining what our country went through in the Civil War. And Todd mentioned it just last week. But I want to tell you this morning, all of you are familiar with the Emancipation Proclamation, right? President Lincoln signed it. All right. Well, it was ready to be signed. All the paperwork was done. Everything was ready except the signature by President Abraham Lincoln. But Abraham Lincoln, he wasn't ready, because the day before, he had spent all day at a reception at the White House, and he'd been shaking hands with people. You know, back in the old days, people just come into the White House, and hundreds of people would come in the White House. And Abraham Lincoln had been shaking hands with people all day, and his hand was swollen. His right hand was swollen. And he said, they said, "Mr. President, we need you to sign the Emancipation Proclamation paperwork." And he said, "I want to wait until my hand is better, my hand is healed," because he said, "I don't want my signature to be shaky when I sign it. I want the people to know that I set the slaves free in confidence. I want people to know that my signature is strong and I set the slaves free in confidence." The book of Galatians states that Christ did the same thing for us. He set the slaves free in confidence. No hesitation, no reservation, no reluctance, no exceptions. The book of Galatians is the Emancipation Proclamation for the Church of Jesus Christ. And if you've never read the whole thing, you need to read it. It defines and declares Christian liberty. And it was written by one who had known slavery in his life. But Paul wrote it to refute the idea that salvation is related or linked to some type of religious code or man-made rules. Many of the early Christians were Jewish Christians who were accustomed to following the law. They'd been following the law all their life. But Paul recognized that for what it was. It was legalism. It was following a set of rules that thought, if I just do this, 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 and this, it's going to get me into the kingdom of heaven. And everywhere that the gospel has been preached forever, there have been those folks that contended that this is too good to be true. It's just too good to be true. Some folks argue it's not enough just to be saved by faith. You must earn God's approval to get into the kingdom. Some teach that we earn God's favor by what we know, about how smart we are, biblically smart. I hope that's not the case, because I'm not going to make it. It's intellectualism. They argue that you got to know a lot, you got to study a lot, you got to know a lot. Others insist we're saved by what we do, all the good works that we do. How many people have you heard say, I'm a good person, I'm not a bad person, I help people? There are plenty of good people in this world that do good things. However you package it, Paul said all of it, every bit of it, is heresy. Every bit of it. Salvation only comes through the cross. No additions, no alterations. We are free in Christ and free indeed, and in Him alone we are free. Galatians 5:1. Well, I want to tell you a little story before I tell you Galatians 5:1. A friend of mine came and talked to me last week, and he's really got some major decisions, business decisions, life decisions to make, and it's just weighing on him. He said, I'm waking up at 2 in the morning, I can't go back to sleep. It's on my mind constantly. I couldn't let it go. I just couldn't let it go. I was trying to control it. And he said, you know what, Oz? You know what I did? And I go, no, I don't. Well, what did you do? He said, I finally just broke down. I said, Lord, I cannot control this. I cannot make this decision. I can't do any of it without you. I've got to give it all to you. I'm giving it all to you, every bit of it. I'm giving it all to you. And he said, you know what? It freed me. Amen? You ever been there where you're just like, I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know what to do. You take it to the foot of the cross. And it frees you. And he said, that night, I slept like a baby. I slept like a baby because it was in Christ's hands. And whatever will happen, whatever happens, it's going to be okay because he's going to take care of me. So we go to Galatians 5:1 and it said, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And that yoke of slavery is sin. That is the yoke of slavery. And the yoke of slavery is the things of this world that we try to cling to, that we think are so important, but they're not. They're not. And he said, don't be burdened again. Once you give your life to Jesus Christ, you're free. You're free of those things. Sin has no control over you. It can't hold you. The things of this world doesn't have the same meaning that they used to. I'm going to tell you something. You get close to the edge of death. You get close to the edge of death. I've been there. And I'm telling you, the things of this world are not going to mean the same. Amen? They're not. What's sitting in these pews? That's what's going to mean the same. That's what's going to have meaning. Because that's all that counts. Paul's last chapter, Galatians chapter 6, and that's what I'm supposed to be talking about today in the series. We could do an entire series on these 16 verses, 1 through 16. I'm not going to, promise. Not going to do an entire series on these. But today I'm going to be reading a lot of my scriptures from the Message Bible because it's easy to understand. It's easy words to understand. Okay, you can follow along, Galatians 6, 1 through 16, but you're not going to follow very good in the Bibles that we got in the pews, okay? But I just want you to hear what Paul has to say to us, all right? So in verses 1 through 3, Paul says, if someone falls into sin, that you know, that falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments to yourself. You know how somebody, you know, gets in a bad way and they fall into trouble, they fall into sin, and you might help them, you might pray for them, and then after you finish, you might like, well, how in the world did they get in that shape? You know, how'd they let themselves get in that shape? Paul says, you better watch yourself, because you might need forgiveness yourself before the end of the day comes. Amen? That's right. So he says, stoop down and reach out to those that are oppressed and share their burdens and so complete Christ's law in your life. Christ says, be with those that are oppressed. Christ says, show mercy to those that need forgiveness and that need a helping hand. That's what he tells us to do as Christians. And if you think, in Paul's word, if you think you're too good for that, then you're badly deceived. I don't need to add anything to what Paul says scripturally to you. That's who he's speaking to all of us and to the people in the Galatians. So in verse 4 and 5 it says, make a careful exploration of who you are. Examine yourself. Who are you? What am I doing with my life? And the work that you have been given, and sink yourself into it. Todd and John and I have said countless times from this pulpit that everybody seated in this church today, everybody that is a Christian, has a work to do. God has a ministry for you to do, a work to do. It might not be standing up here. It might not be singing like Joe Christian. It might not be doing a lot of things, but God has a work for you in your life. He has a ministry. He has a purpose. Wherever you are, He has a work for you. And Paul says, examine yourself and find out what that work is. And then do it. Amen? Do it. Just don't talk about it. And he says also, don't be impressed with yourself. And don't compare yourself to others. I got a good friend. He's a retired surgeon. And he was an excellent surgeon. I mean, a wonderful surgeon in his craft. And people would compliment him on the job that he did and the job that he would do on them. And just, you're wonderful. And he said, I have no talent except the talent that God has given me. I have none. He's given it all to me. And something else that he did, this guy would come in, if he's getting ready to operate on you, he'd pray for you. Oh, that's the kind of guy I want operating on me. Amen? He's praying for me. He said he came in one day and he asked a guy, he said, do you mind if I pray with you before we have surgery? And the guy said, well, if it makes you feel better, all right. But he prayed for him anyway. It was his witness. So God's got a purpose for all of us. Each of you must, Paul says, each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. You must take responsibility. This is a world where people don't want to take responsibility for what they're doing. It's always somebody else's fault. I'm going to tell you something. It's on you. What you do, and I think Chandler will testify to this. We took he and his sister Ann to college. Connie said, hey, I'm going to tell you something. You all can do whatever you want to do. You can get drunk every night. You don't have to go to class. You can do whatever you want to do. But understand this. Whatever you do, it's going to be on you. Because it's on you what you do. She say that, Chandler? Sure did. And that's the same way with all of us. Whatever you do, it's on you. We need to remember that, folks. It's responsibility. And Paul says, be responsible. Be responsible for yourself. Verses 7 and 8, don't be misled. No one makes a fool out of God. What a person plants or what a person sows, he's going to harvest. A person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, is going to harvest. That's what they're going to harvest. And all they'll have to show for it at the end of their life is weeds. Remember that. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in their life, they're going to harvest a crop of real life, of eternal life. One of my favorite verses is Galatians 6:9, and I'm going to read that. It's from the NIV version. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Let us not grow weary of doing good. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard. And it's really hard. It's really hard to do good to people that aren't so good to us. You know, and that's really what God calls us to do. It's pretty easy for me to do good to all these people sitting in this bench because they love me and I love them. But people that aren't so nice to me, sometimes that's hard for me to do good. But Paul says, don't grow weary, because if you continue, you're going to reap a harvest before it's all over. In the Message version, it says, "Right now, therefore, every time you get a chance, let us work for the benefit of all people, starting with the people closest to us in the community of believers." So our response to the people in this church on taking care of each other is great. It falls on us to take care of each other. Not only are just our families, but the family of believers, and then to all people that we come in contact. What a wonderful world this would be. That's a song, isn't it? What a wonderful world this would be if all people practiced that, to do good to all that you encounter. Would it not be? Yeah, amen. Sure it would be. I got a quote that I wrote on the back of my business card, I don't know, 15 years ago maybe. I think Connie found it somewhere. I'm pretty sure she did. But she stuck it up on a mirror that I look at every morning. She stuck this business card up on this mirror that I look in every morning. All right? The guy that wrote it or had the quote was Sparky Anderson. Now, you got to be kind of an old guy sometimes to remember Sparky Anderson. But if you don't know who he is, I'm going to tell you. He lived 1934 to 2010, and he was one of the greatest baseball managers of all time. Sparky Anderson was. He was the first manager to win the World Series in both leagues. All right, National League and American League. So if you grew up in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, you knew who Sparky Anderson was. All right, I knew who he was. We all knew who he was. But more than being just a great baseball manager, and he's a baseball player too, Sparky Anderson was a man of integrity, and he was a man of compassion. And he showed compassion to others. He was a multi-millionaire, obviously, had all the money that he could ever want. But he said, if you don't stand up for everything you believe in, you got no place to stand. If principle has a price tag, then it ain't worth nothing in the first place. He was also known not only for knowing his players, but he knew and called by name everyone that worked in the stadiums that he coached in. That's pretty strong, isn't it? And he not only knew their names, he'd stop and talk to them in the stadium when he saw them. There's something about knowing somebody's name, isn't it? Somebody that calls you by name, isn't it? And he made the most least important person in that stadium feel important because he took time to just talk to them and call them by name. And he said this. I'm not to the quote yet that Connie got stuck up on my mirror. But he said this. He said, what you really got to do is you got to treat everybody right. Every person out there is a child of God. Ain't no one person more special than anyone else. Amen? Don't care who you are, ain't no one person any more special than somebody else. God likes to see all of His children happy, and if you want to make God happy, then go out and make His children feel good. Ah, boy, that's a good one too. But here's the quote that I wrote down years ago, and it said, "It doesn't cost a nickel to be nice to people. It's something that you can give away for free, and it means more than $1 million. Amen? Doesn't cost a nickel to be nice to folks, and it's worth more than $1 million. The last verse of Paul's letter, he tries to convey to us the importance and the magnitude of what he's saying to us. And Paul says in verses 11 through 13, he says, "Now in these last sentences, I want to emphasize the bold scrawlings of my personal handwriting." He said, "I want you to know I'm writing this in my own handwriting, and it's big, and I want you to understand how important it is that you hear what I'm saying." He said the immense importance of what I'm saying. His hand was not wavering. His hand was not shaking. He said the people that are attempting to force you in the ways of circumcision, and that was a big deal, the law. He says the people that are trying to force you to abide by the law, by the rules that are set beside, he said, they only have one motive. They want an easy way to look good before others, lacking the courage to live by faith that shares Christ's suffering and death. All their talk is about the law, and it's just talk. They themselves don't keep the law. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. Do you hear what he's saying? "As for me," and Joe, this last song that Joe sang, not the last one, but the one before I spoke, he said, "May I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." What do any of us deserve in that song? What do any of us deserve that He's given us? What did I do to deserve that? Zero. Nothing. Paul said, "Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. I've been set free from the stifling atmosphere of trying to please others and falling into patterns of this world." The patterns of this world have nothing to offer any of us. Do they? Nothing. Can you not see the central issue in all the things that Paul's trying to tell us? It's not what you and I do. It's not submitting to circumcision or the law or anything. Nothing that we do. It's what God is doing. It's God who is creating something entirely new, a free life. God, He doesn't save us because of what we've done, how well we've performed, how hard we've worked in our life, how much money we had made, how successful you've been. Jesus says, no way, none of that, no way. He said, what you want and what you need cost way more than what you can pay. Jesus said, what you want and what you need cost way more than what you can pay, because you need a Savior. You need a Redeemer. For what is impossible for man is not impossible for God. Amen? That's right. Let me hear a little, "That's right." That's right. Because you know it to be true. So this is the message of Paul. For what the law was powerless to do, God did. He sent His Son to die on a cross for our sins to set us free. To set us free. Now, people can say what you want to. Being a Christian is not the easiest thing to do, gang. You know it. If you live that life, it's not. It's easy to follow the world. It's easy to do those things. But I'm going to tell you this. If you follow Jesus Christ, then your life is going to be filled with a joy immeasurable that this world can never give. And that's hallelujah stuff right there. I'm telling you it is. You might be sick, you might be in trouble, you might have a lot of things wrong, but if you rely on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's with you till the end of the age. He's with you forever. You might die. You might die of a sickness. You might have a lot of things happen to you, but Jesus is there with you. He loves us. God loves us, and He sent His Son to die for us. So three things Paul tells us. Salvation comes by grace and not by works. Right? Free. His grace, free. Number two, we should bear fruit. We should bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Bear fruit. Show love, show grace, show mercy, compassion, kindness. Not just up to John, Todd, go visit the sick, feed the poor, help folks along. Not just up to them, up to you. Huh? Up to you. And last but not least, Paul says, you're going to reap what you sow in life. Woo! You're going to reap what you sow in life. So today, if you're burdened by the yoke of sin, if you're tore up about whatever, if you're tore up like a kraut sandwich about your marriage, about your finances, about your life in general, about what you're doing, how you're doing it, what you're addicted to, what you're not addicted to. If you're burdened by the yoke of slavery, then I'm going to tell you, Galatians 5:1 again, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by this yoke of slavery. Set yourself free in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. Joe's going to be coming up here. We're going to sing one more song. It's a great song. Joe's going to sing. I know I told you I was going to pray, and I will, but you can come on up, Joe, if you want to. But while Joe's singing too, for those of you that are visiting us today, number one, the altar's always open. We got people that'll pray with you. If you got something on your heart, you want to get it off, or you want to give your life to the Lord, this altar's always open. Number two, our communion on each side here, our communion's open to everybody. Table, God's table is always welcoming to everybody. Everybody gets to take communion. So you'll see how we do it and go over there and take communion. And we got the collection place. If you want to give something, that's fine too. If you don't, that's all right too. God's going to take care of us, right? Huh? That's right. We know it's all right. We don't care. So there it is. Thank you all for letting me be here, John, Todd. Thank you always for giving me the opportunity. Thank my family, my friends for coming. All of you. Thank you. Thank all of you. All love you. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the blessings you bestowed upon us. There are many. We can't repeat that enough. I ask my family, my friends that are heading back to different parts of the state today, give them travel mercies, be with them, protect them on their way back. And I just pray for our church. I pray that you'll help us all to be better folks, that you'll help us all to show mercy and compassion and grace to all those that we encounter. And certainly we need to remember the words of this next song we're going to sing. Father, great is thy faithfulness, Father. Your faithfulness to us is unending. Your love for us is unwavering. Your Spirit is always with us, and all we have to do is just ask for your help. We love you. We believe all these things in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.